Last week we covered serving his church. I'm really broken and I need help. An acknowledgement of our own sin and our need. Jesus is perfect. He is my help. Jesus is the only way to healing in my relationship with God. The Holy Spirit is my power to live as a follower of Jesus. And then God calls me to submit, surrender, yield to his authority and to serve his church. And then this week we get into behaviors, and we'll wrap up the message, this series, probably maybe right before Thanksgiving. But the behaviors, as a result of what we believe, what are some of the key component behaviors that we have as believers, not just for us, but as believers? Serving others is one, valuing others greater than myself, reconciling relationships, building bridges, not burning them, and then giving generously, blessing others with our time, talent, and treasure. So we'll get into those over the next few weeks. It struck me with these behaviors, you know, serving, reconciling relationships, and giving. There are a lot of churches that start there. When you go to church, they talk about all the things that you need to do. But they don't do a great job of giving you the underlying motivation to that. And then at the same time, there are a lot of churches that talk about all the beliefs, but don't really transition into how it works its way out into our lives. And so we want to be a balance and a combination of word and deed. Jesus came serving in word and deed. And so that's what we're trying to accomplish here. What we believe impacts our behaviors. It impacts our thoughts. It impacts our hearts. And it impacts what we do, what we think, what we say. So last week we hit that serving his church as the priority. We focused on Galatians 6. Paul was talking to the Galatian church, talking about doing good to all people, especially to those who believe, who belong to the household of faith. And I mentioned that if you were asked, who's the priority in Scripture? Is it serving other Christians or serving non-Christians? And who's the priority? For a long time, I thought, oh, it's definitely other people. But it's the household of faith. We start with the family of God. We need to be healthy serving each other's needs in order to be able to serve the needs of those who are not yet in the family of God. And Scripture all throughout, I read, came across more Scripture this past week that just solidified. If a brother is in need, or if your brother or sister is in need, talks over and over and over about serving the family of God. But we also know that God's heart of mercy is for everybody. And so we're going to touch on that this week. That's where we're going. We mentioned that every family has chores to do. Some are chores that people love doing. Some are chores that people don't love doing. Every church is the same way. There's stuff that just needs to be done. And, you know, children's ministry may be one of those things. Some people love going down and working with the kids. Some people are like, oh, I'd rather stay in and, you know, be with the adults. Regardless, we have a bunch of volunteers who give their time, give their effort. Many of y'all are in the room, and so grateful for you guys. And I know the guys that go pick up the stuff in the morning, they'd rather probably not do that, but they go pick up the crates, and they bring it all here, and they get the coffee going. They're kind of like chores of the church. Somebody's got to do it, you know? The guys that come in and set up and lead worship and do the sound and the audio, and you, when you bring food, you know, you're making meals in the morning or preparing Saturday night. It's just something that we're all doing, and we're contributing to the health of the family of God. And so I guess it's, we put up this sort of buckets last week. You know, if you're trying to think, well, where's my fit? You know, I could help with setup or takedown. I could, you know, help with welcome and hospitality, helping with the kids, preaching and teaching. Some of you guys are gifted with that. You've got a good baseline of theology and biblical understanding. And as we, if God opens the door and we go to another location, we're going to need some help doing this. And my goal, I've had some conversations this past week. My goal is that we don't think, oh, I couldn't do that, lead worship or preach or teach or whatever, because we're all way more equipped than the rest of the world to do all the things that we're doing. You guys have a baseline of theology that is far exceeding most of the rest of the world, most of the pastors around the world. And I think one of the hindrances to the expansion of the church is we in the church think, oh, I couldn't do that. You know, I'm not a professional. Well, that's how I always felt. But I think when we open ourselves and say, God, just tell me what you want me to do, and I'll be willing. So whether it's worship or preaching, making food, you know, making breakfast in the morning, or like Jason Jones, most every Sunday after church, that's a passion of his. So he makes lunch for us. So there are all kinds of ways that we can serve in the family of God. We talked about that last week. And then I mentioned a new ministry idea, the crock pots and casseroles last week. There are always meals needed, you know, whether it's new parents or somebody sick and somebody needs a meal, somebody needs help. A lot of times it's hard to pull that stuff together at the last minute. So we said, well, what if we prepared crock pot recipes or casseroles and we've got a huge deep freezer at our hillside house, just throw it all in the deep freezer. When somebody has a need, we go pick up a few meals and deliver them. And then instead of focusing all of our attention on trying to make a meal, we can focus our attention on the person that we're bringing the meal to, and we can have a brief visit and pray for them and just encourage them. So if that's something that you would say, oh, that looks fun, that looks interesting. If you've got a really good crock pot recipe or a really good casserole recipe, we want to put those on our website so that we can grab those recipes very easily and make them. So we mentioned that last week. And then our final thought last week, bridges really to this week, our primary thought, which really is that mercy is a natural response to those who have experienced mercy. It's a natural response. It doesn't start with us, it starts with Jesus. And our response of mercy is a result of his mercy to us. I mentioned last week that when we serve, we grow in our relationship with God and each other, and we get to be a part of building God's kingdom here on earth. There's nothing greater in this life. You know, it's awesome to be a part of a sports team that wins a championship. It's awesome to be a part of business that's, you know, at the top of the list in what you're doing and professionally, but there's nothing more satisfying and more joy-filling than knowing that we're being a part of expanding God's kingdom on this earth, helping people to see and experience and know the mercy and the love of God. So it's a joy to be able to do that. Saying yes to God is always the best decision. If God puts something on your heart as relates to his kingdom, and you may think, your first thought may be, well, I'm not good at that, or I don't know how to do that, or but if he puts something on your heart, the best thing to do is go, okay, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'm scared. I don't feel confident, but I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. So pay attention. What is it that God is putting on your heart? What has he put on your heart? And, you know, God is a creative God. He puts all kinds of creative stuff on our hearts. I mean, look at where we're meeting. God put this on my heart 12 years ago, and I didn't think anything would come of it. I really didn't pursue it, but God's the one that pursued it through me, and here we are. So it's exciting being a part of God's kingdom because he's a creative God. So this week, I'll give you, you know, there are going to be some other key thoughts that jump out at you. The one that jumped out at me in preparing is that serving relieves suffering. And I don't think this is in a slide. I was thinking about it this morning out of everything that I'm talking about. Serving relieves suffering. And we have an opportunity that whenever we serve, whatever it is, there is an element of suffering that our service to other people, our mercy is bringing relief to. Terry talked about how Leslie Greer went and picked up Carrie at the airport this past Saturday. She was kind of stuck, but Leslie jumped in the car and picked her up. And there was a bit of suffering there. How am I going to get home? How am I going to get my wife home? And Leslie met that need. So that's just one small example. Serving relieves suffering. So what is mercy? What is mercy defined? There's two elements of mercy. Laura and I were talking about it this past week, that one element is mercy is a compassionate treatment of those in distress. It's just extending compassion to people who are in need. The other side of it is compassion shown to the undeserving. You know, typically sometimes we think of mercy in a law sort of way, that I'm not going to give this person what they deserve. I'm going to respond in kindness. I'm going to show mercy. More of what we're talking about today is showing compassion to those in distress, but it's both and. It's showing compassion to people who are in distress, showing compassion to people who are undeserving. Mercy is a response. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. This is a great verse. And I'm sort of priming the pump here. The intention here is for us to remember the mercy of God in our own lives, because that's where this starts, as I mentioned earlier. Listen to this scripture. Peter says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Isn't that amazing? God calls us out of darkness into his light. We had been at a point in our lives where we had not experienced the mercy of God, and he gave it to us. We were in distress, and we were undeserving, and God poured out his mercy on us. And when he did that, he put his spirit in us to give us a desire to want to share the mercy with others that we've received ourselves. God's kindness. I wrote a note here. Our mercy is activated by the mercy that we've received. Our mercy is activated by the mercy that we've received. I love the line in Come Thou Fount, that hymn that we sang to open up the service. That was written by a young man. He was 22 years old when he wrote that hymn in 1758. But the line that jumped out at me, along with others, but to the message, "Streams of mercy never ceasing." Streams of mercy never ceasing. So the kindness of God in our lives, Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ forgave you." So again, our kindness, it doesn't start with us. We remember back. Our kindness starts with the kindness of God in Christ towards us. And then I'll read another verse here. Luke 6:32 through 36. "But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you?" Talking about God's kindness. "Even sinners love those who love them. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High." I mean, if we're in our right mind and we hear this call to love our enemies, we push back. I'm not going to love my enemy. If anything, I'll be neutral to them, right? That's a stretch, just neutrality towards my enemy. But Jesus said, no, 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 love your enemy. And here's where it starts. "For God is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful just as your Father is also merciful." Who's he talking about? Be kind. Your Father is kind to the unthankful and evil. He's talking about us. That was our starting point. When Jesus came, he came to unthankful, ungrateful people. And he came to those who were enemies. The Bible tells us we were enemies of God when Jesus came for us. God is kind to the unthankful and evil, and we are the recipients of that kindness. Unbelievable. So when we serve, we become dispensers of grace who point people to Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful thing? We just become God's dispenser, like a Pez dispenser. You're dispensing grace into other people's lives. Who doesn't love Pez? Actually, nobody does. Anybody like Pez? There we go. Lori, you like Pez? We went to the Pez Factory. Where is the Pez Factory Museum? Oh, wow. Okay. Now I've got a craving for Pez. What'd you say?
They're really good when they're fresh.
Oh, Pez right out of the dispenser. Right out of the factory. Now we're completely sidetracked. I love it. A Pez dispenser was not in my notes for illustrations, but it came to my mind. That was the Holy Spirit that, yeah.
That's
right. But we become dispensers of grace. How unusual is it to be served by someone you don't know? Or to be served by someone when you know you don't deserve it, your enemy? Has that ever happened to you? You were served by someone you didn't know, or somebody served you and you're like, wow, why is he serving me? I was kind of a jerk to him or her. That's what we become, and it gets people's attention. You know, when we become the one that serves the stranger, or we become the one that serves the one who they know they don't deserve anything good from us because of how they treat us, and we can give kindness, it gets their attention. And it's really fun, actually, when that happens. You know, people respond very positively oftentimes. So the question is, are you a dispenser of grace? What are you dispensing in your life? I'm not, oftentimes. And that's where repentance and confession comes from. Oh, Lord, I want to be a dispenser of grace. But I'm usually not. I'm dispensing impatience. I'm dispensing frustration. I'm dispensing bitterness. I'm dispensing anger. I don't want to dispense those things. Lord, help me. I mean, we talk about repentance, and that it's just in normal stuff. We see our lives, what comes out of us, and we say, Lord, I don't want that to come out of me. But every now and then, we see goodness come out of us, and we go, that was Jesus, because that's not me. And that becomes encouragement to our faith. I was able to go love my neighbor. I was able to go love a stranger. I was able to go love someone who was not kind to me, and we know that we're growing in grace. For believers, mercy is a natural response. I was thinking about the parable of the sheep and the goats that Jesus told in Matthew 25. And it says that, you know, the illustration that he gives, he's going to separate the sheep and the goats. And he's going to say to both of them, he says this, and the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed of the Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothing, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And you know how the righteous answer? They say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty and give you something? They didn't even know they did it. It was just happening. And then he said the same thing to the goats. And they were like, oh, well, had we known that was you, we would have served you. Had we known you were the one that was in prison, had we known that you were the one that was hungry, had we known that it was you that needed clothing, we would have done it. But the sheep just did it. They didn't know. And so it's God's grace flowing through us. And we see it happening in our lives. And we go, I didn't even know I did that. Because it's Jesus doing it through us. And so it all starts with him. If we don't see those things in our lives, then we just go back to Jesus and say, Jesus, use me. I don't see these things in my life. I have an ulterior motive. Yeah, I'll go serve that person if I know that it's going to benefit me spiritually, or if I know that you're going to see me doing it. I want to be somebody where mercy just flows out of me. And so for believers, mercy is a natural response. Serving relieves suffering. I mentioned that earlier, kind of my key point that jumped out from this message, that one of God's primary purposes in serving is to relieve the suffering of others. Finding opportunities to serve is actually very easy because everyone is suffering from something. Everyone is suffering from something, big or small. Scale of 1 to 10, it may go, oh, it's a 1 or 2, but it's something. Or it could be an 8 or a 9 or a 10, but everybody's got something, whether it's loneliness, sickness, poverty, fear, worry. We can bring relief to other people when we serve. God's heart of mercy. He says this, if there's a poor man among you, within any of the gates in your land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart, nor shut your hand from your brother, but you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. Open your hand wide. And I referenced earlier, God, Scripture tells us that that's what God does for us. His hands are wide open, and we, every living creature comes to him to be fed, to be filled, to be taken care of, and he calls us to do the same. Psalm 41, blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in his time of trouble. Blessed is he who can. So it's very important. Mercy is the heart of God. And then it's specific to us. God's mercy is specific to you. God considers our need and he meets our need. Psalm 109, verse 22, the psalmist says, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am poor and needy. And then Psalm 116, the Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. So I've received the rescue of God. I've received the mercy of God. His mercy has been specifically directed towards each of us. And it's where it's so important to stop and think about that on a weekly basis, on a daily basis, to recalibrate our hearts and our minds towards the mercy of God. Let our hearts be filled up so that they can overflow into the lives of people around us. So what does suffering look like? I gave a few examples earlier, but I came up with 10 things here. Pajamas. These kids going into foster care. You know, that's a vulnerable thing when you don't have clothes to wear. And meeting a need through pajamas. That's suffering. Food for your family. Just being able to put food on the table. The North Gwinnett Co-op, we went to their annual banquet. Dave and Kaylee had a table, and some of us had a great time being there. It was amazing. Some of the stories that we heard of people that were being served by the co-op, just providing food. By the way, the co-op, their goal was to raise $50,000 at the banquet. They raised $271,000. Isn't that amazing? And we partner with them, and we want to do more in partnering with them. Visiting the sick. I know numbers of you guys have visited Jimmy this past week. He was in the hospital, then back at home. Supporting the caregiver, supporting Leslie. Just some examples. Providing transportation. Good News at Noon, the homeless shelter that we serve through, said that they have a need. I know it's probably not practical for a lot of us because they're up in Gainesville, but some of their residents in their program need rides to job interviews and, you know, things like that. So just providing transportation to somebody in need. And Leslie provided transportation to Carrie. Connection, just somebody that's lonely. It can happen to any of us. Some of us that live by ourselves, it's not so easy to go out and initiate and connect with other people. We feel like we might be a bother. And so we make initiation and connect with those who might be experiencing loneliness. Providing encouragement, mentoring. I think of Cravens and some of the guys in this room who give themselves to mentoring some of our next generation, some of our teens, just providing encouragement and mentoring in that way. Sponsorship and recovery. There's a lot of investment in this room. A lot of us in this room have a background of recovery and addiction, and it's helping one another walk through that and providing encouragement in our recovery journey. Just noticing the person in front of you. Steve Stanley is not here this morning, but you know, whether it's at the grocery store or at Walmart or wherever you are, Steve does such a good job of noticing somebody's name and then just, hey, how's your day going today? You know, like, what's something good that's happened to you today? And he gets very specific and they feel cared for. That's extending mercy. And then the last is just prayer. Prayer for the hurting. Prayer is powerful. Prayer matters. Sometimes we discount it. I really struggled with that this past week. Do my prayers matter, God? I don't see any movement in these things. Yes, they do. And we've seen some answers to prayer. You've been praying for 15 years, and then God begins to answer that prayer. And what happens? It's actually a gift. When you've been praying for something for so long, he allows you to make such a deep investment in something, and then you begin to see turn. You begin to see light. And it's so gratifying. So don't give up on prayer. Your prayers matter for the hurting. Who is suffering in your circle of relationships and or influence? Be thinking about that. Who in your circle might be suffering that you could provide some encouragement for? I'm almost done. I'm good on time here. Real quick, I mentioned this last week. I had to skip it, but I'll come back to it. What are our obstacles? What are the obstacles that get in the way of extending mercy? I mentioned time, fear, and just interest. time. I don't have time to serve. That does happen to a lot of us. You know, there are times when I drive by somebody in need on the side of the road or whatever. Sometimes I can stop, sometimes I don't. And I think of the Good Samaritan. I'm like, I'm one of the bad guys right here. I want to be a good guy. Usually acts of service and acts of mercy don't come at convenient times. It's just not convenient. And we have to know that ahead of time and try to build that mindset in that today, Lord, would you help me to pay attention to whoever comes across my path and to see them not as an interruption in my schedule, but as a divine appointment in your schedule. And help me to serve with love, help me to serve with kindness, with a good heart, good attitude. So time. Serving gives us the opportunity to exercise faith in the face of time. It's an opportunity. Exercising faith in the face of time. The second is fear. There's a lot of fear. I am fearful every day about all kinds of stuff. I'm insecure. I'm fearful about what people will think. I'm fearful about what I'm going to find. I'm fearful about what I'm going to say, what I'm going to do. I don't know if you can relate to that, but I struggle with that all the time. Fear of the unknown, fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of safety. Serving gives us the opportunity to exercise faith in the face of our fears. Don't run because you're afraid. If you sense God calling you to do something, I was talking to Harold a couple weeks ago, and maybe some others of you, I made a decision years ago that if somebody asks me to do something and I can do it, like I'm available, then I make the commitment I'm going to do it. Even if I don't feel like I, you know, am qualified to do it, I don't feel comfortable doing it, if somebody asks me, I'm going to view that as being from God. If I'm available, I'll do it. And that is an exercise of faith. I've grown a lot just by having that mindset. So don't let your fears dissuade you from stepping into what God may have for you. God tells us a great encouragement, Isaiah 41:10. I've heard Alex Campbell share this verse. It's a great verse. Don't be afraid, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. And then lastly, so you got time, you have fear, and you have interest. This isn't something I want to do. This doesn't have anything. It's not even on my radar. Somebody else can do that. It's not uncommon to not have a natural interest in serving the needs that's presented. I spent probably 15 years mentoring in the public schools, and when I got started, I had zero interest in that. I went because I knew there was a need. And when I walked into the cafeteria of the elementary school, God broke open my heart for these children. But I didn't go with a heart for the kids. I went because I knew there was a need. So don't avoid something because it may not be an interest. If you sense that God's leading you in a direction, just let him, you know, you might be surprised at what he does in changing your interests and changing your affections in the face of need. Serving gives the opportunity to put the interests of others ahead of our own and more deeply experience the love of Jesus as we provide relief to those who are suffering. When we are engaged in extending mercy, we're participating in the work of Jesus, and we experience him in a deeper, more profound way when we're doing his work with him. We grow in love and we grow in faith when we extend mercy, when we serve other people. There are multiple ways that we grow in faith. What we hear about a lot of the time is through prayer and Bible reading, right? But when we serve, that's probably one of the most impactful ways that we grow in faith, is when we put into action what we know to be true, what we know God's calling us to do. So don't discount the action part of faith. Prayer, Bible reading, and serving are all very important in growing. And a lot of us talk about, I want to grow, I want to grow, I want to grow. I'm reading, you know, 2 hours a day, or I'm spending, you know, 30 minutes in prayer, but I'm not growing. Well, serving. Will bring about maybe some growth that you're desiring to do. Closing thoughts. Three closing thoughts. Serving others involves connecting with other people and discovering areas of need. We don't know areas of need unless we're connected with other people. So if in your circle of relationships you're not aware of some needs, then maybe what are some ways to expand the circle of relationships? What are some ways to become aware of needs? You know, Halloween is a great opportunity to connect with people for the first time. It's the only time of the year where everybody's walking around neighborhoods, knocking on doors. And we can take advantage of that by extending kindness. I've got on the announcement page of our website, kind of a whole thing of a list of ideas of ways that you can leverage Halloween to build a relationship and make it fun and make it a way to build bridges to neighbors. And through that, you might be able to discover some ways that you can serve and bless your neighbors. There's also, by the way, a resource attached to that, which I printed copies on the back table of the origins of Halloween. It's kind of interesting. It's a two-page thing. So where did Halloween come from? Halloween oftentimes is known as a dark thing, but we can use it for building the kingdom of God. We can use anything for building the kingdom of God. So first of all, serving others involves connecting with other people and discovering areas of need. Secondly, connecting is the first step to serving. Connecting is the first step to serving. Once a door of relationship is established, that door can be opened to discover ways that we can serve and bless other people. And when a person who has experienced the love and mercy of Christ has an opportunity to extend that love and mercy to someone else, we become a relational bridge that now has the possibility of helping someone connect someone to Jesus. We become a relational bridge. When we extend mercy to other people, we become a bridge to hopefully connecting them to Jesus, the source of our mercy. Serving relieves suffering. Serving relieves suffering. When we serve to relieve suffering, we become a conduit of grace that connects others to Jesus, the one who served us, the one who suffered for us, and the one who brought relief to us. We become a conduit of grace. And then lastly, when suffering is relieved, Jesus is made known, and our joy is made full. As I mentioned earlier, there's no greater joy than knowing that God is using you to expand his kingdom. And so the call for all of us, wherever we are in our relationship with Jesus, if you're walking with Jesus, lean into that. If you're not, think about what are the barriers? Why am I not walking with Jesus? What's keeping me from relationship with Jesus? And the call every Sunday, every week is to faith and repentance. Turn from our wicked, sinful ways and turn to love. Turn to the God of mercy. Turn to the one who shows kindness to those who are ungrateful, shows kindness to the evil. Turn to him, let him wrap his loving arms of mercy around you, and then he'll use you to wrap your arms around other people who are suffering too. And there's no greater joy than when we experience that. That's good news for us today. Let's pray. Father, we acknowledge that we're selfish naturally. The first person that we want to serve is us. And so we confess that, and we ask that you would pour out your Spirit and turn our hearts outward, set us free from ourselves, set us free by your love to extend your love to other people. But Lord, first and foremost, may we encounter your incredible loving kindness, your mercy towards us. May we see ourselves as the one who's needy. May we see ourselves as the one who's poor. May we see ourselves as the one who is in distress and requiring mercy. And then may we see ourselves receiving your mercy and then give it away to others. Lord, walk with us in this week. Give us eyes to see the people that you put in our path to love, not to be dissuaded by time, it's inconvenient, or fear, or insecurity, or that it's not an interest. Lord, put aside the hindrances or the challenges or the obstacles and help us to walk with you into the places serving the people that you put in our lives. We love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.